بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 26th of June in the year 2022. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 45th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned the praise of this noble group of mujahids. And the last report I mentioned was when the Persian's emperor's sword, belt and jewels were brought intact back to the capital. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, those who brought this must truly be trustworthy people. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu thereupon said, it is because of your trustworthiness that your subjects are also trustworthy. Recorded in Tabri in his Tariq and Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 663 of the New English Translation. So that shows their piety. The most precious in any spoils is going to be the kings. Not only was it the kings, it was the emperors. So it's priceless. But they didn't take a single iota from it. It came back and Umar was impressed, radiallahu. And Ali radiallahu anhu praised Umar because of you, because you set the example. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu, he also sent to the Amir al-Mu'mineen the Persian emperor's sword, the belt, the bracelets, the trousers, the shirt, the crown, and the shoes, all of which were very precious, bedecked with silk, gold, and jewels. Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu, upon seeing this, he glanced at the people present. And he saw Suraqa ibn Malik, radiallahu, who was a tall man, and he was present. Thus the amazing prophecy of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now going to be fulfilled. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi in his Al-Isabah, volume 2, page 115. Hafiz Suhaili rahmatullahi alayhi in his Rawd al-Unuf, volume 2, page 323. Sayyidina Suraqa himself relates, and this is going back to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was pursuing Rasulullah and Abu Bakr during their famous hijrah. And he said, as I was riding fast chasing them, my horse suddenly stumbled and I fell. I wondered how this could have happened to me. But still I persisted and I rode on. When they appeared fully in my sight once more, my horse stumbled once again. I fell for the second time. But I was still not deterred, and I rode on. And as I approached them the third time, my horse's front legs sank into the sand, and I fell off once more. As the horse pulled its sinking legs out, I looked carefully, and subhanallah, I saw that they were being followed by a column of smoke. So this is the famous hijrah, and the bounty, as they say, was 100 camels, dead or alive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu. So Suraqa, he told the other assassins or the ones who wanted the bounty, he goes, this way is fine, there's nothing here. And he wanted it all for himself. And he was an expert tracksman. So for an expert tracksman to fall off his horse is unheard of. So that was a sign. Allah Ta'ala gave him a sign. He gets back, he's, you know, the palm signs on in his eyes. Second time it falls, the third time the horse sinks. And then when he looks, he sees a column of smoke following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, I realized that there was now no way I could overpower Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I therefore yelled to them and I asked them, please stop. I promised that I simply wanted to speak and I would not do any harm to them. Thus they stopped. I approached and I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please write me a note which would serve as a token that he would recognize at a later date. So what was this? So basically what Suraqa was doing, he was edging his bets. He knew that somebody was protecting the Prophet. But Iman, it probably entered his heart. But he wanted that guarantee. So at a later day, he could approach the Prophet with the letter that has been signed. So he goes, give me something with a token that I can recognize later. He thereupon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked Abu Bakr to write me a note, which I used several years later at the time of the conquest of Makkah to gain access to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and declare my acceptance of Islam. So that's why he wanted it. He came, he goes, look, and he embraced Islam. Having taken the note, I set off to return. The Holy Prophet thereupon called me back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was smiling. And he said to me, what would you say, O Suraqa, radiallahu anhu, if you were to wear the bracelets of the Persian emperor? Aye, would that not be better than the 200 camels you are trying to acquire? So I was shocked. So I said, Khosara ibn Hurmuz. In other words, are you talking about the Persian emperor? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. I did not respond, finding this very hard to believe. I returned. I met several people chasing that direction. I told everyone, Muhammad is not on this path. Return. So now think about this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's just got the shirt on his back. He's a wanted man. His own home, his city is after him. You couldn't even think of a more amazing time to utter that prophecy. He's basically telling Suraqa, the most powerful man that you think in this world at the moment, you're going to wear his bracelets. So how do you explain that? So Suraqa, obviously he's thinking, if it wasn't Muhammad saying this, but even the Prophet, because I found it very hard, but I didn't say anything. And then because I returned with this going through my mind and heart. So subhanAllah, Sayyidina Suraqa ibn Malik radiallahu went out to gain the paltry worldly sum of 200 camels, which, if he had achieved it, would have been the cause of his eternal destruction. But instead, subhanAllah, he came back with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the greatest treasure possible, Iman. Allahu Akbar. So the scholars say, look how touching that is. He went with one purpose. Allah Ta'ala goes, no, that's not the real reason. There's another reason. So what happened? It is further related that Sayyidina Suraqa later, upon his return to Makkah, hearing of the safe arrival of Rasulullah to Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to describe the miraculous incident that had occurred to him. The most interesting, he's not a Muslim. Why is he propagating Islam now? So he's gone back and he's waiting for the news that the Prophet safe. Why is he doing that? He's not a Muslim. The Arabs, you could say, they were very trustworthy, no problem. But he's not. When he hears the Prophet safe, now he's going flat out telling everybody, I saw a column of smoke, my horse sank into the ground. What is somebody's defending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This caused a great stir. But the Fir'aun of this ummah, Abu Jahl, stepped in and he spoke some poetry to belittle Suraqa. So he didn't just speak, he started saying really, you know, bad things to Suraqa. So Suraqa responded in poetry. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Abu al-Hakam, if you were present when my horse's legs sank into the ground, you would have been convinced without a shadow of a doubt that Muhammad is a messenger who has come with indisputable proofs. Those who will now be able to oppose him. This is recorded by Hafiz Suhaili in his Rawd al-Unuf, volume 2, page 6, Fath al-Bari, volume 7, page 189, Shaykh al-Ahadith, Mawlana Muhammad Idris Khan Dahlawi in his Seerat al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 1, page 431-2 of the English translation. Question, he's not a Muslim. But was he? So the way to look at this was, Iman's entered his heart. His official declaration was at the conquest. But he clearly said here, without a shadow of a doubt, and who's he talking to? Fir'aun. Muhammad is a Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has come with indisputable proofs. He goes, who's going to oppose him? Meaning, look, we tried to get him. What happened? Just two men. Couldn't. Because I was the closest. And I saw what you didn't see. Now, what's shocking about this? Who knows the Prophet more? Sorak or Abu Jahl? Abu Jahl. Because he's Quraysh. So somebody from the outside is telling them. He goes, I'm telling you. Because if I've seen this, what have you seen? Subhanallah, lo and behold, when the Muslim armies during Umar's Khalifat overran the Persian Empire, Umar called Sulaka. And Sulaka was a tall man. And he gave him Khosra's bracelets to wear in fulfillment of Rasulullah's wish. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Related by Hafiz Ibn Hajar in Al-Isabah, volume 2, page 115. Hafiz Suhaidi, it is Rawd al-Unuf, volume 2, page 323. So what's strange? Gold is haram. But the Prophet said, you will wear the gold bracelets. So Umar, this is the thing, you override. He goes, Sadaqa, wear this. In a further report, details are added. In Al-Bidayah 7-68, Tabari in his Tariq 4-472, Umar called out, Ya Sulaka, stand up and wear this. Sulaka said, I really wanted to keep them. So I stood up and put them on. Meaning, I think now he goes, finally, what the Prophet said is mine. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Umar radiallahu then said, spin, turn around. So I turned my back to him. He goes, turn around again. Which I did. And he said, Bakhin, Bakhin, splendid, splendid. A Bedouin wearing Khosra's clothes, sword, belt, crown, and shoes. Then he looked at Sulaka. And then he said, oh Sulaka, there was a day when possessing these belongings of the Persian emperor might have been an honor for you and your people. But it's not. Take it off. Sulaka then looked and he goes, I took off the crown, everything, and I gave it back. So now look how interesting. Why was Umar asking him to spin? Because he wanted people to see. You know, you get them mug shots, right? From the left, from the right, from the back. So he's got everything on. So he's looked the Persian emperor, but he's tall. And the Bedouin is wearing it. And he goes, look, spin, spin. And he goes, amazing. He goes, this would have been an honor not too long ago. But it's not. He goes, get it off. And I took it off. However, before Sulaka took off the priceless attire, he was instructed to perform another task by the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr in his Al-Istiyab, volume 2, page 120, he mentions, Umar radiallahu anhu instructed Sulaka to mount an animal and then paraded with him through the streets in Al-Madina whilst people surrounded them. All the while, Sulaka was raising his voice, repeating Umar, what he had said earlier, he goes, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, who has removed them from Kisra ibn Hurmuz and has made Sulaka ibn Malik, a Bedouin from the Banu Mudlij clan, put them on. Subhanallah. So Umar goes, go down, let's do a little ceremony. And then he's going, Allahu Akbar. He goes, Bedouin's wearing the Persians, royal garments. Sulaka continued. Thereupon Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you did not give these to your Prophet and Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was more honorable and beloved to you than me. You did not give these to Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, who too was more honorable and beloved to you than me. Now you have given them to me. Hence I seek refuge with you, that please do not put me to trial with these. And he then burst into tears. And all the people around him started pitying him. He thereupon said to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, I order you to distribute all of this before the evening. This is recorded in Al-Bidayah 7-68, Tabari in his Tariq 4-472. So when he's been paraded, Sulaka radiallahu anhu, and now Umar is lost. Why? Because it's priceless. And look how strange this is to many people. It's perfectly lawful. You're set for life, not you, the Ummah. He's worried to the core because it was kept away from Rasulullah. So look how he's explaining. He goes, look, Rasulullah is more beloved. If there was goodness in this, it would have been given to him. Abu Bakr is more beloved. If there was goodness in this, it would, because you've given it to me. Meaning, oh my God, have I lost my position? Then he says, I seek refuge with you. please do not put me to trial with this. And then he started to weep, and because he was weeping so much that people pitied him. And Abdul Rahman gave the command, distribute all this, get rid of it. Those, the treasures of the world was now flooding towards the believers. Now, another touching report. In Sahih Muslim, number 1168, in the chapter on Masajid and places of prayer, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَبَيْنَ أَنَا نَائِمًا أُوتِيتُ بِمَفَاتِيحِ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ فَوُدِئَتْ فِي يَدَيْ. Whilst I was sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was given the keys to the treasures of the earth. They were placed in my hand. Abu Huraira added, فَذَهَبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْتَثِلُونَهَا. Rasulullah has left us, and now you are busy acquiring them. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah has left us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now you are busy acquiring them. So look how beautiful, two parts to the hadith. First from Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was sleeping, the treasures of the earth was given to me. Again a prophecy. Did that come true? Yes. You go to the non-Muslims, look, tell us what didn't come true. Prove to us he's not a prophet. The ball's in your court. All we can tell you is what, you know, you're going to find it hard to believe. He said the keys of the world was given to me. Wasn't it given to him? Both Abu Huraira said he's gone. Now you're acquiring them. Meaning he wasn't waiting around. Wasn't interested. Allahu Akbar, endless prophecies of Rasulullah being rapidly fulfilled. So now was the time between Sadaqa trying to get those 200 camels with the Allah and his wearing the attire. How many years would you think?
30.
Okay, so you're saying 30. Any other?
No, I'd say about 10, 11 years.
Okay, so obviously it's before the Hijrah. 10 years in Medina, the Prophet leaves the world. So 10 years have passed. The entire Abu Bakr's Khalifah has passed. That's 12 and a half, let's say. This is the second, third year, let's say, push it. 15 years. So imagine Sadaqa, within 15 years, what he heard, he saw it. And Umar goes, come here. And what's touching was, the two that he saw on the Hijrah, they've gone. Rasulullah and Abu Bakr both left. So Sadaqa was hit by a message as well, saying, look, is there really honor in this? The one that told you about it and the one that you saw, they both left. Where's the honor in this? And Umar must have thought that as well. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, upon seeing the colossal treasures, was now lost in his thoughts. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, his son, Ibrahim, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, when the treasures of Kisra were brought to Umar, Abdullah ibn Arkam Zuhri radiallahu asked, shall we deposit it in the Bayt al-Mal, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Let's just leave it in Bayt al-Mal. Umar goes, no. We shall not deposit it into the Bayt al-Mal until you've got rid of it. He then burst into tears. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf thereupon said in surprise, why are you weeping, Amir al-Mu'mineen? Today is a day of gratitude and joy. Why are you weeping? Umar radiallahu anhu replied, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this wealth to a nation, he casts enmity and hatred between them. This is in Ahmad in his Zuhd, Bayhaqi, volume 6, page 358, Abdul Razak, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, Ibn Asakir, Ibn Al-Mubarak in his Zuhd, Qamzul Umar, volume 2, page 321, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 256 of the New English Translation. So Umar is, like you say, two steps ahead. They're seeing the immediate blessing. Umar's looking ahead. He goes, with this, I can see enmity. Get rid of it. In another report, to finish, in Ahmad Bayhaqi Abdul Razak ibn Abi Shayba Qanzal Umal Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 293 of the Old English Translation, Umar radiyallahu anhu made the following dua. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know full well that your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved that he got wealth from somewhere and then spent it on your path and servants, but you kept him safe by your grace. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Bakr radiallahu also loved, he got wealth from somewhere and he spent in your path and on your servants, But you also kept him away from it, as you were kind to him. Now, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from this, in the abundance of wealth that has arrived, that lest it should be a testing point for Umar. He then recited the following verse. Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23, verse 55 to 6. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُصَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they think that because we have granted them abundance of wealth and children, we have hastened them in every good? Nay, they do not understand. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So this is an authentic report in Ahmad Bayhaqi Abdul Razak Ibn Abi Shayba Kanzul Umar Hayat al-Sahaba. So he's made a dua, he's making an audible dua. Why? Because so we learn. He goes, Rasulullah loved to get wealth. Now look what he's saying. He didn't stop there. We love to get wealth, mashallah, sunnah. Carry on. He then loved to spend it in your path and servants. Then he said, yet you kept him safe by your grace. Meaning, there's danger in this. Abu Bakr, same words, but he goes, you was kind to him. Because now, I'm being tested. Then he quotes a passage. So Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23, verse 55 and 6. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, what does he say? Do they think that because we have granted them an abundance of wealth and sons or children, نُصَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, we are hastening them in every good. بَلَّا يَشْعُرُونَ. Nay, they do not understand. Look how tragic. What are the two cornerstones of success in the materialistic mind? Children and wealth. Wealth and children. Allah Ta'ala says, do you think if I give you abundance of that, I've given you khairat? He goes, Balla yashurun, you haven't understood anything. Umar was thinking, that's referring to me. Allah Ta'ala has given the treasures of the world to me, and I do understand. Oh Lord, I do understand. Indeed, history and ourselves clearly bear witness to this foresight of the venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar. Thus, it was not poverty which our beloved messenger feared for us, but rather wealth and its abundance. What then of the one who is in blissful ignorance, his sole aim in life is to climb the so-called social ladder? Think about that. I'm climbing the ladder, brother. What are you doing, cleaning windows, right? No, social ladder. I'm climbing the social ladder. So what's on top of the ladder? You go to the pot. He goes, the part of what? Is that in the end of a rainbow? And he goes, there you go. That's his aim. Imagine. What's your maqsad? That's my maqsad. And the two things that Allah has warned you about, if I give it to you, do you think I'm giving you good? Astaghfirullah. Like it says in the Bible, what good does it do to a man to gain the world but lose his soul? Right? So it seems true, the passage. So all I mentioned today was basically fulfillment of prophecy. And now you can put it in context. It was after the Qadisiyah, the fall, and Madain, which fell shortly thereafter, that all these amazing treasures were coming. And it was the early part of Umar's Khalifat. And the prophecy was fulfilled with regards to Suraqa, radiallahu anhu. Are there any questions you would like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصل بالحق ورواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.